Chapter 11. The Man on the Tor.
October the 17th. It rained all day today. I thought of Selden on the cold, isolated moor. Poor devil. In the evening, I went out onto the moor myself, but there was no trace of the tall stranger. During my walk, I met Dr. Mortimer. I asked him if he knew a lady with the initials L.L. He mentioned a certain Laura Lyons who lives in Coombe Tracy. She is the daughter of Frankland, the eccentric old neighbour with the telescope. She married an artist named Lyons, who deserted her, it seems. I decided to go to visit Mrs. Lyons tomorrow. Later, talking to Barrymore about Selden, I discovered the criminal knew of the tall stranger on the moor. He said he was a gentleman, living in one of the prehistoric stone huts there. Apparently, a boy brought him food regularly. I was more determined than ever to discover what this man knew and why he was living on that wild and desolate moor. I clearly remember the events of the next few days and their terrible conclusion. The next day, I went to Coombe Tracy to the house of Mrs. Lyons. She has a typewriting business there, supported by the kind contributions of her neighbours and friends. Mr. Frankland, her father, refused to help his daughter when she was abandoned by her husband, because he didn't approve of her marriage. Mrs. Lyons was a very attractive lady, with hazel eyes and brown hair, but there was a certain hard expression around her mouth, which changed my initial good impression of her. When she asked me why I was there, I told her I knew her father. She became even more rigid and insisted she had nothing in common with her father.
"My father never helped me in the past," she said. "I can thank Sir Charles Baskerville and others, like Mr. Stapleton and Dr. Mortimer, for my present fortune. From my father, I received nothing."
I then asked her if she wrote to Sir Charles before his death. She became pale, but said no. I told her of the burnt letter found in his study, and she was visibly perturbed.
"Yes, I did write to him,"
she admitted finally.
"I wanted his help again. I had the possibility of being free from the persecution of my husband. I heard Sir Charles was going to London the next day for some months. I needed to see him urgently before he left, so I arranged the meeting at 10 o'clock that night."
"What happened?" I asked.
"I didn't go. I received help from another source, which I cannot reveal."
And she refused to tell me any more. I was very perplexed when I left Coombe Tracy. I could not understand why the lady was so reticent. Discouraged, I decided to follow another course of action. I returned to the moor to look for signs of the mysterious, tall stranger at the stone huts. I met Mr. Frankland outside the gate of his garden. He was very jovial and insisted cordially that I tasted a glass of his wine to celebrate his success in a recent case. I accepted, hoping he could give me some information on the man on the moor. He told me he observed the moor every day through his telescope and always saw a boy go in the direction of the Black Tor. At that moment, he saw a movement on the moor and immediately went to his telescope. I was secretly pleased that our neighbour was so curious. We saw a small boy with a basket of food going slowly up the hill. I quickly excused myself, left Mr. Franklin's house, and went in the same direction as the boy. The moor was quiet and mysterious, and I suddenly felt a sense of urgency. Once over the hill, I didn't see the boy, but there in front of me was the group of stone huts. One of them still had a roof, which could give shelter against the weather. I threw away my cigarette and approached it very carefully, with my pistol in my hand. I looked inside. The place was empty, but there were signs of life, some blankets, ashes of a fire, and some cooking utensils. I smelled tobacco smoke in the air. In the middle of the room, a flat stone served as a table. On it was the basket, containing bread and tins of food. There was also a note with these words written on it. Dr. Watson is in Coombe Tracy. I was astonished. Why was this mysterious stranger spying on me? It was terribly cold and uncomfortable in this hut. Why was his determination to stay there so strong? I decided to wait and face him, whatever the consequences. I sat down patiently in a dark corner, my hand touching my pistol under my jacket. At last I heard him. Footsteps came nearer. I held my pistol, ready to defend myself. The steps stopped for a long moment, then started again. A shadow fell across the opening of the hut.
It is a lovely evening, my dear Watson,
said a familiar voice.
Why don't you come outside?